Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, April 4th, 8:42, which means it is time to check in with Pastor Wirth for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, my brother.
How are you this morning?
I am well. How are you?
Good. Did you fare all right through the storms last night?
Yeah, we did okay. How about you?
Oh, yeah, we did all right. We did all right. It was pretty crazy, though. Pretty intense weather. It was certainly you could see the power at work in the environment last night, couldn't you?
Indeed. God's creative almighty power and upholding creation is seen, isn't it? And every thunderstorm and windstorm and the rain and so forth. And as the rain was coming down very hard yesterday and it caused flash flooding in many areas, you can imagine what that would be like when in the great flood of Noah's day, you know, continuous rain, very heavy rain, and the fountains of the great deep opening up. Not like the Noah movie. You don't need to go there, but apparently that Noah movie is a fiasco. It's certainly unbiblical fantasy, but I haven't seen it. Have you?
I have not, but it has certainly provided plenty of source for conversation on Facebook. I see lots of conversations about it on Facebook.
And I know our good friends at Answers in Genesis have reviewed it, and I think they've reviewed it on Issues, Etc., and some of our other programming. So I'm not encouraging people to see it, but if they see it, they need to be very discerning. Check out what the book says, the good book, God's Word, the Bible.
Absolutely, and you should do that with anything, that any movie that you go to see or anything that you read in media. You want to make sure that you are well-prepared, well-equipped with the Word of God before you jump in and just let anything from this world influence what you believe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's one of the reasons we're here with this program every week, to help people to be discerning when they hear things about evolution or the origin of the world or the origin of life. We always want to direct people back to God's Word, the Bible, and help them also to understand that we have great resources that God has provided in people who have scientific understanding, who can help us sort through the factual information that we learn from science, but also to see how that fits right in with what the Bible teaches us about where we came from, the great flood of Noah's day, and it all ties into the gospel of Christ, which is what we always want to remind people. There's a connection between creation and Christ, who is our creator and our redeemer.
And opportunities to study that and learn about that are always good. And there's one coming up not too far from now, correct?
That's true. This summer there will be the second of Creation Conference that will be held at Concordia University, Wisconsin, in Mequon, Wisconsin. The theme is the origin of life, the improbability of chance, mutation, and natural selection. It's being sponsored by the Society of Creation, an organization composed of full-time and retired faculty members of Concordia University System Schools. And so this will be June 30th to July 2nd. It's open to Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastors, teachers, lay people, and anyone with an interest in defending creation and the doctrine of creation against the theory and the belief in evolution. Some of the keynote speakers will be Dr. Kevin Anderson, who's author, speaker, and editor-in-chief of the Creation Research Society Quarterly. He will address evolution's flawed principles and the human genome, an icon for creation science. Jay Siegert, author, speaker, and co-founder of the Creation Education Center in Waukesha, Illinois, or Wisconsin, excuse me.
Just a little bit further north.
A little bit further north, indeed. Is evolution probable or problematic? And another topic, I hear that evolution is impossible. I suspect that maybe has to do with the wonders of the human ear and how God created the ear. Other speakers will be Dr. Joel Heck and Dr. Gary Locklear. Both of these are professors from our Concordia University system and authors of books and very sharp on these matters as well. So we hope our listeners will consider going. Registration deadline is June 16th, and there's a fee of $55 for full registration. They also do have one-day registrations available for $15. Or $35 on the day that includes the box lunch. For more information, they can go to societyofcreation.org/conferences, and I think they'll be able to find that information. It's also available through our synodical website. I got the item in the LCMS News a day or two ago. And speaking of LCMS News, we have our publication, the Lutheran Witness magazine, mm-hmm. which is an excellent resource. I hope all our listeners avail themselves of the Lutheran Witness. What wonderful things get published in that month after month. And this particular month, April 2014, has a number of articles that deal with the matter of Christian apologetics, that is, helping to defend the Christian faith and Christian doctrine against the attacks of secularism, rationalism, and the like. And there are excellent articles in there, one making the case for Christianity by Corey Moss, and then they also, in these articles, reference other resources that are available, books and so forth that are available. Great stuff. So I really encourage our listeners to get a copy of the April 2014 Lutheran Witness and read through it. There's lots of things they would like to know about and connections to other resources that will be helpful to them. And one of the articles is by someone we just mentioned who will be speaking at the Creation Conference in Mequon, June 30th to July 2nd, and that's the Reverend Dr. Joel Heck. He's written a number of books. One of the books is In the Beginning, God, and the article in the Lutheran Witness is Bible on Beginnings. It's just a one-page article, but it kind of summarizes what his little book tells us, teaching about that the Bible does teach a six-day creation, and there's no need to try to make those days into something longer. God is God, and he can do all things. And textually, if you're just letting the Bible speak for itself, you know, it's not poetry, it's not figurative language. The opening chapter of Genesis reads as, historical narrative, and the days when you let Scripture interpret itself, the days are normal days, whether you call them 24-hour days or just natural days, a cycle of light and darkness as we still experience it today. And he makes a good case for that, and as well as just letting the Bible teach us about creation rather than trying to insert our own rationalistic ideas, thinking that human reason and so-called science somehow can trump the Bible. Instead, we should let the Bible speak and let that inform us as to where we came from, because after all, God was the one who did it. He's the eyewitness, and in his word, the Bible, he gives us that eyewitness testimony. So we certainly hope people will pick up that article and read that as well, and that will be helpful to them, I believe, and we hope more people will avail themselves of the wonderful resources that we have today that can help us speak the truth in love about what the Bible says and not be afraid when people begin to challenge that with scoffing or mm-hmm. rationalistic ideas, that we, including things like their belief in the theory of evolution. We can stand our ground and be confident. God's word is true, and it defends itself, and yet God has given us these resources that help to answer questions that people may have, both from the Bible and from the world around us.
And that is a good thing. That's the only thing that we have that we can trust, right?
Absolutely. God's word is completely trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And you and I and our listeners who know and believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior know that a God who is so wonderful and so mighty and merciful that he could promise and in the fullness of time send Jesus to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life and then to offer up his perfect life on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for our sins and rise again on the third day, all of which God promised he would do and he actually did do, is able to do all things. So creation in 6 days and preserving Noah and his family and the animals on the ark, those miracles are wonderful, but actually, in my opinion, they would pale in comparison to the wonderful things God did for our redemption in terms of the virgin birth, the raising of Jesus from the dead. And a God who can do that and has done that can certainly be relied upon to be telling the truth when he talks about where we came from, where the problem of sin and death and suffering came from, and how that all ties in with his promise of sending Jesus to be our Savior and the fulfillment of all those promises in our Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us, who rose again, who forgives all our sins. And, when you believe in Jesus as your Savior and know all the miracles that God did in and through him and for our redemption, certainly believing what he says about creation, the fall, the flood of Noah, all of those things just fall right into place. You say, well, why would I not believe those things when I know what God has done for me in Jesus Christ, my Savior.
Amen. Well, we have enough time, I think, to get to some of the items that we prepared for today. Would you like to talk about the rootworms evolving?
Certainly. Okay, there was an article recently that came out about rootworms. For many of our listeners live in rural areas where we grow corn. Other countries might call it maize, but here in the American Midwest, we refer to it as corn. And it's a very important crop and useful in many ways. And so farmers have been tempted to abandon an ages-old practice of crop rotation, where instead of planting the same crop year after year after year on the same plot of ground, this year you plant corn, next year you plant beans, there's a temptation to say, well, this is a very profitable thing if I just plant corn year after year after year. What can I do to avoid the problems of doing that? And one of the problems is you have pests that develop over the time. And one of the pests that we have here is the troublesome western corn rootworm. And it can ravage a corn crop. And so over the years, we've developed pesticides and other things. But people realize there's a downside to pesticides. So now in recent years, people have developed genetically modified corn. And in the genetically modified corn, they've produced, there's three different toxins that the corn itself produces. And these toxins are deadly to the rootworm. So the rootworm actually, eats the corn, and when it does, then it kills the rootworm. And there's three different toxins that do this. But one of the things that they've discovered after they've developed this is that it's not 100% effective. In other words, 98% of the rootworms that will typically attack the corn population will die from the toxins that are produced in this genetically modified corn. But the 2% that survive will then produce offspring that, guess what, have the same inbred genetic equipment, so that the toxins don't affect them. So after just a short time, I think they said it was 3.6 years, in 3.6 years, they found out that fields where they were planting corn in the same fields year after year after year with this genetically modified corn, that the rootworms came back. And that the coming back was simply this, that you didn't kill off 100% of the rootworms, and the 2% of the rootworms that survived were able then to reproduce and reproduce and reproduce, and all of them and their offspring had already the genetic makeup to be resistant to the toxins in the genetically modified corn. Now, is this evolution in action? That's the way the media usually talk about it. See, this is evolution. They do say the same thing about drug-resistant bacteria, and that when antibiotic-resistant bacteria reproduce and you get these super germs. So people say, see, that's evolution. Well, actually, that's not evolution, certainly not in the molecules-to-man evolution. What it is natural selection, which creationists do not disagree that there is such a thing as natural selection. Natural selection is simply differential reproduction. And so what you're saying is not that you're producing new information where this information didn't exist before. You're saying the information is already there in the genes of all these organisms. Some of them are resistant, in this case, to the toxins in the genetically modified corn. And so all the ones that don't have that resistance built into their genes get killed off. The ones that do have the built-in genetic resistance to the toxins survive, and they're the ones that reproduce. That's not evolution. It's natural selection. There's already the variation within the kinds of rootworms, and what survives are still rootworms. They don't evolve into something better. And what you actually have done is lost genetic information. The genetic information that 98% of the rootworms had gets lost, and only the genetic information in the 2% of the population that have the special resistance to the toxins, they survive. But you haven't added any information. You haven't evolved anything. All you've done is killed off part of the population. And that's true also with bacteria. Bacteria don't evolve by getting new information and creating new information in the genetic code to resist antibiotics and so forth. What you do is you kill off the ones that don't already have something in their genetic makeup that makes them resistant to the poisons of the antibiotics, and so they're able then to survive. So this does not prove evolution at all. It fits right in with what the Bible teaches about creation and variation within a created kind.
With about a minute left, I want to go back and recap the information on the conference as well this summer. I want to get that to our listeners before we wrap up our time this morning.
Okay, let's do that.
Concordia University, Wisconsin, Mequon, and from 1, it starts at 1 p.m. on June 30th and goes until July 2nd. To find out more, societyofcreation.org, you can check it out there. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Very good. And now, are you planning on going this summer, Pastor Horth?
I do not have plans to go, but I certainly encourage others to do so.
Absolutely. Very good. So the second creation conference set for Concordia University, Wisconsin this summer, the topic, the origin of life, the improbability of chance, mutation, and natural selection. That's the theme for the conference. Pastor Horth, always good to catch up with you and talk about these important topics in creation.
My pleasure.
And I look forward to talking with you next week.
I do too.
God's blessings
God
to
bless you.
Bye-bye. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll join together for morning prayer and we'll hear the sermonette on the daily New Testament reading from Pastor Matt Wood from Concordia Lutheran Church in Maplewood. Stick around for morning prayer after this, right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO. The messenger of good news,